Welcome to Salt and Light with Pastor Randy Mitchell. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." Salt and Light confronts the difficult and often controversial issues that affect today's culture. The only hope for this generation is for more people to follow Jesus Christ and for his followers to be salt and light in their community. Pastor Randy will discuss the Bible solutions to help us know what God says about the problems we face today. Salt and Light is a ministry of Temple Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina. Here's your host, Pastor Randy Mitchell.
Happy Tuesday morning. I'm Pastor Randy Mitchell, joined here in the studio. Trusty sidekick, Brother Max Robinson. Brother Max, we appreciate you being on the show today. It's been a few weeks since you've been on Salt and Light. We had a great broadcast last week with Pastor Jason Boger of Northmont Baptist Church, and we talked about a few things, and actually what we're going to be talking about today is an addendum, continuation of some of the things that Brother Jason and I spoke about last week. And so having said all of that, how are you doing today, Brother Max?
So far, so good. So thanks for inviting me today. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's always good to have you here, and always a pleasure to minister and to try to be a help to people. And as we work together, we've spent a lot of time working together over the years and had a lot of good times, and looking forward to many, many more good times like this where we can serve the Lord together. I know that our Master Club program is winding down. We've got a few weeks left going through the month of May, and so probably we're off this upcoming week because of our missions conference. But after that, what I think we've got about maybe 5 weeks left in our Master Club program.
Four.
Okay. And then we'll have our awards, end of the year awards. But then just around the corner, I wanted to mention to our listeners, and that is this: we have our Vacation Bible School for 2024 scheduled, and it is June 17th through the 21st. And so we'd like to encourage you to mark your calendars and make plans to send your kids to our Vacation Bible School. We've got a great theme. I'm going to let you tell about that theme, Brother Max. I know you know about it because we were talking about it just a few days ago. But we want our listeners to have plenty of advance notice so that they can mark their calendar. There's no shortage of VBSs in our community. In our community, you can say VBS, everybody knows what you're talking about. You go to some parts of the country and, you know, VBS, they don't even know what that is. But Vacation Bible School is a common thing among churches. There's a lot of them in the area, and we have a great one. And so as parents are making choices which Vacation Bible School to sign up their kids for, we certainly would be honored. And we believe that you would be blessed if you sent your kids to our Vacation Bible School. So tell a little bit about that, Brother Max.
Well, it is coming quickly. It's 2 months away.
I can't believe it.
So it will be here before we know it. It's going to be a missions, Christian missions outreach theme, but it's based on it was a reality thing with The Amazing Race. And truly, the Christian life should be amazing. Serving God is amazing. Going ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is amazing. It was one of the most well-known Christian hymns is Amazing Grace, right? So It is amazing. Paul referred to this Christian life and ministry as a race that we should run and run well. And so we're going to incorporate some of those things in our theme. Each night, we're going to have a different continent, country, and specific missionary that we're going to highlight with a Bible lesson. We have a good missionary coming in from South America, Mateo Sanchez, that is going to be teaching our lessons during that week. And he's a godly young man. He's got a lot of enthusiasm and zeal. He's been faithful. His dad's been a missionary in Peru for a number of years.
And he speaks excellent English, by the way.
He speaks very good English, and he speaks incredible Spanish. And, you know, he's one of those that can go from English to Spanish, Spanish to English, translating back and forth. I've preached with him, and when I would do a little bit of Spanish that I don't know very well, he would repeat it in English.
Fix it.
I mean, he's just quick. He's quick-witted. He'll be a great great speaker that week. And so we're looking forward to it. We're going to have Friday, the last day, is going to be a big fun day. We're going to have a message, but we're going to have some obstacle courses and stuff like that, and it'll be a good day.
I have known Mateo since he was about, I'd have to guess, 4 or 5 years old, maybe younger, I don't remember. I was down in Pachuca, Mexico, preaching for Brother Adam Thompson. And his dad was one of the missionaries in the missions conference where I was privileged to be a part of. And we all stayed in the Thompson's home. And so him and his sister Dixie, and got to spend some time with his mom and dad, just tremendous Christian folks and great missionaries. And so I hope that whether you are English or Spanish, doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, if you've got kids, you ought to consider signing them up and bringing them to our Vacation Bible School at Temple Baptist Church, June 17th through the 21st. Well, Brother Max, we are a few minutes from going into our first break here today, and so I want to go ahead and introduce our topic. Last week, Brother Jason Boger and I were talking about the value of the Bible. And, you know, I think that every Christian, I know certainly every preacher, ought to be passionate about the Bible. I have here in front of me, I have my Bible, and it's open. I got my notes here that I printed out. But my notes are certainly not an authority, but I have a copy right in front of me of the words of God. And when I say the words of God, a lot of people just think the word of God is like a general concept. But the Bible teaches of itself that the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so God gave the Bible through inspiration. He used various men over thousands of years, different time periods, different men, different types of men, and they penned down the scripture. And yes, they wrote from their experience, from their personality, from who they are, but yet God, the Holy Spirit, in His providence and sovereignty and omnipotency, was able to take and make sure that what these men were writing was His scripture, the Word of God. The Bible says that the scripture is forever settled in heaven. It's an eternal book. And so God, in His eternity, made sure that we had the Bible in our language and preserved. If God inspired the Word originally, if He didn't preserve it, then really inspiration's of very little value. And so a lot of people are confused by that. Can I have confidence in the Bible that I'm reading? And I'm glad that this book that's here before me, I have confidence in it, Brother Max, and that has made a difference in my life. I don't have to question, because I know from the very beginning, the first question that was ever asked was the devil saying, "Yea, hath God said?" And so from the very beginning of humanity, the devil has tried to cause man to question the Word of God. Adam and Eve didn't have the scripture. It wasn't written, but they had heard it firsthand, what God said. We don't hear it firsthand, what God said, but we have it written. And even the Lord Jesus Christ prayed a blessing upon people who would end up believing in Him based on the word, the testimony of His disciples. And so the New Testament was written by all that. We could talk about that the entire broadcast, but the fact of the matter is we have an authoritative book here that's been preserved. And because we have the words of God, then there's value in that. And after the break, we're going to talk about that value. So folks, stay tuned. We want to encourage you and challenge you on what a difference the Bible will make in your life. And so stay tuned. We'll see you after the break. Isaiah 34, verse 16 says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Welcome back to Salt and Light. Brother Max Robinson and I, we've been talking about the Bible. and the value of reading the Bible. And honestly, folks, we want to challenge you and encourage you to spend more time in the Bible. And we're going to talk about some different helpful ways in which we can do that. But Brother Max, the Bible says quite clearly of itself, God says that we should seek out of the book of the Lord and read. If God tells us that that's what we ought to do, then certainly we ought to take that seriously. I know some people, you've pastored, you've preached to people, and you've taught classes. Both of us have done that, trying to get people in the Bible, and it would make such a difference. And so why should people seek out of the book of the Lord and read?
Well, we know that in Proverbs it talks about how wisdom, right, clearly is of God. And it's from the beginning. Wisdom is from the beginning as God was in the beginning, because all real wisdom, there's an absolute in wisdom. There just is. Because wisdom is correct, it's infallible, etc. It's perfect, right? Well, that's all originated with God. All good wisdom, true wisdom is of God. It was in the beginning, as he was in the beginning. It existed. And we are to search the scriptures to get that, right? We are to look for that. We go to Proverbs. We go to other portions of scripture to get wisdom. Solomon's wisdom, the things that he wrote, right, that were instructed, where did it come from? Well, clearly we know the history. God looked down upon him and gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was from God. So we should go to God's word to get that. That's just one example of wisdom. But we can get love. We can get hope. We can get peace. We can get joy. There's so many things that we can gain by going to God's word that we can't get from other resources and other places.
That is right. If we're seeking to read out of the book of the Lord, the Bible talks about God putting his words in our heart. And it's one thing to just have the words of God in our eyes and in our brain, but it's another thing to have it in our heart. And you're not going to get it in your heart until you first get it in your mind. And you're not going to get it in your mind if you don't read. I love what you said about wisdom, how that wisdom is an absolute. Knowledge is not absolute. Knowledge, and it seems like we're living in a day and age where there's no shortage of knowledge. We have the information highway. The Bible says in the latter days, knowledge shall run to and fro. There has never been a time, I believe, in human history that there's more knowledge than what we have today. I mean, we're talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and you know, we have computers that can process massive amounts of knowledge. But the problem is we have neglected the Bible, and because of that, we have a huge shortage of wisdom. I mean, look at the way our country's going. We have all this knowledge, but yet it seems like the people and the leaders are just making foolish decisions right and left. And it just, we scratch our head and think, what are we thinking? Well, the problem is we don't have wisdom, because wisdom comes from the Word of God. Now, as we're talking about that, Brother Max, I know that this always comes up. Every time that I talk to people about the Bible, people always say, well, what Bible? What Bible should I use? Well, I want to throw out a hypothetical situation. I talked about this last week with Brother Boger a little bit, but I'm just going to say this. Just pretend that you're in this hypothetical situation, that say you're camped out by a lake. And, you know, it's not a dirty, filthy, swampy lake, but neither is it, you know, one of these high alpine lake with crystal clear water. It's just a normal lake. You're camped out by it. And you have when we went to Papua New Guinea years ago, I bought one of these charcoal pump filters because we didn't know what kind of water we would have available. And we thought, well, we don't want to spend the whole mission trip sick. So I bought one of these, put it in my suitcase and packed it. Now, in Papua New Guinea, we drank rainwater, and so I didn't ever have to use it. But several times we were camping up in the backcountry of Idaho, and I was able to use it at a mountain lake. And, you know, that lake water is pretty clear, but it still has all kinds of microbes in it, stuff that when people drink lake water, even up in the mountains, they get sick almost every time. And so I was able to pump some of that water through that lake water, through that filter, and I was able to drink it. Now, when it came through that filter, it was still discolored. it didn't look like tap water or anything. And so I thought, okay, but we're camped right next to this lake. It was so convenient. I could get that water, pump it through the filter, and drink it. It didn't make me sick, but it certainly wasn't anything that I really enjoyed drinking. Now, say another scenario that, let's say you're at that same campground. You have a pump, you have lake water. But 150 yards up the side of the mountain is one of those cool, crisp, crystal clear springs that you can drink that water. I've drank some of that water up in the mountains that just come right out of the rocks, and it's like, wow. I mean, pure, cold, like nothing you've ever tasted. Now, you got to hike up the mountain about 150 yards, nothing that's going to kill you. Not like you got to spend all day, but you can go up there and drink that. You can fill your canteen and then take it back to camp, and you can enjoy that. That's the way I see the whole scenario that most people, when they talk about what Bible to use, they like to say, well, I don't understand the King James Bible. It's not common language, but let's face it, even modern language today is not the same as it was when I was a kid. You know, that seems like that the way people talk and so forth, it's going down, the quality of communication and so forth. And so I would prefer having a pure Bible that maybe I got to climb a little bit to go get it. And, you know, at the same token, it's good for me to make that little hike up the mountain, too, because it's all so healthy.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I see this whole scenario. People are choosing an impure Bible that's easier to understand, just like that lake water. They can pump it through the filter. They're going to get some good. They're going to get hydration and probably not get sick from it, but they're having to filter it. And they're not going to enjoy it, and they would be a whole lot better off if they would just learn the pure Word of God and learn some of those words that aren't common, because some of those words have some rich meaning that give us truth that the other Bible versions wouldn't.
I completely agree, as you know I would, because you know my stance on that and have been, and not just because I was around that and raised it, through study have come to the conclusion that, yes, there's got to be, God promised to keep His Word. He promised to preserve it. And I know a common thing is being said now, well, people will agree, well, God preserved it in the original text, you know, okay. But God's not able to continue to preserve His Word as He said He would through the generations, that we could have some? Because I think the biggest thing that you said in the earliest segment that comes into play is, you know, we have to put confidence in what God said.
Mm-hmm.
And if century after century after century, we're saying that, well, God preserved it in the original, but He hasn't been able to keep it through the various changes in languages and stuff, then what do we have confidence in?
Because we don't have the original copies.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
So what do you do? And so, sadly, we are seeing not just degradation in society of lacking wisdom of God and turning their back, but in theology and theologians, they don't trust a preserved word. And so now they're left to their own thinking and their own ways. And we have really not just watered down, we have added microbes and other things into the pool that people are drinking now. And many of these versions are clearly doing that.
You know, that is so true, Brother Max. It's like that filter at the lake that I was talking about. So many people, if you got all these other Bible versions, and they all have different words and they say different things, and whether or not the translators intended to be pure or just easier to understand, if something has a different word or says something different, it changes the meaning. And so you have to be able to filter through and discern, okay, this Bible says this, this Bible says this. They can't both be true if they say different things. And so what happens is people have to just run that through a filter, and they don't have confidence in the Word of God, and it ends up being the reader judging the Bible rather than reading the Bible and saying, this is God's Word, and it is supposed to be judging me. It's supposed to be discerning who I am. And so the whole relationship gets backwards, and because of that, people read the Bible, and maybe it's common language or modern language and easier to understand, but it loses its effectiveness. And it's just like anything else in life. If a product is effective, people will buy it. And a lot of times people are not reading the Bible because they are not experiencing the effect, the positive spiritual effect in their life of reading the Bible. And some of it comes right down to having the right Bible and having confidence. Now, we recommend, obviously, the King James Version of the Bible. But let me say to any of you listening, I'm sure there's plenty of listeners that use other Bible versions. Listen, it doesn't matter what version you don't read, okay? So if you have a different Bible version, read it. We're not telling you don't read other Bible versions. We just recommend that the best you could read is the King James Version. If you disagree with us, that's fine. Whatever Bible version that you have, read it faithfully, because you're better off to read a different version than to read no Bible whatsoever. I know some preachers, Brother Max, that would disagree with me on that, but I believe that other versions contain the Word of God. We just believe that this King James Version is the Word of God. I think about Daniel and his friends, that they put God to test, and they said, we're just going to eat pulse. And they just ate some bland food. And at the end of the time period, it says that they were fairer and fatter of flesh. And so you're better off to take something that, hey, I don't necessarily enjoy reading it as much, but if it has that desired effect, you're going to notice the difference. And I feel pretty confident that if you'll put us to the test of what we're saying, you will find out that you'll find out the benefits for yourself. Brother Max, before we go to the break, I want to start talking a little bit about how to read the Bible. After the break, let's give some people some ideas on how they can read the Bible and do it faithfully. And so stay tuned after the break. We're going to talk more about how to read the Bible. We've been talking about the value of the Bible. The Bible is an amazing book, and it will change your life. I can say by personal testimony that it changed my life in a dynamic way, in a major way, and I would not be here today if it wasn't for the Word of God. And I'm so thankful. In fact, almost every time I pray, Brother Max, I thank the Lord for His Word. Because it is the source of wisdom, like you mentioned earlier in the broadcast. It's our lifeline. It is God speaking to us, and I need to hear from God. I need to know what His mind is. I need His instruction. We have the manual for life right here, and just like so many of us foolish men, when we put together toys for our kids at Christmas, or if we buy something that requires assembly, we take the instructions and ignore them, and then we put it together and have extra parts, and then we have to take it back apart and then look at the instructions. Oh, I missed that part. That was important. It didn't look like a very big part, but it was important. And it's the same way with the Word of God. How often we neglect the manual for life that God gives us that would save us so much heartache. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about the different versions of the Bible. And I know people are passionate about that, and we're not trying to we're certainly not arrogant about it. I'm thankful that I've got the book that I've got right here. But for some people, that's controversial. So I want to just set that aside and say to our listeners, whatever Bible version that you use, we want to talk to you about how to read it, how to actually do what we as believers know. If the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you know that you're supposed to be reading the Bible. But so often, we don't know where to start. We don't know how to start. We don't have those habits. If you have been saved for any length of time, if you're an adult, then and you haven't been reading the Bible, it is not an easy thing to start a new habit, especially if it's a spiritual habit, because the flesh, our old nature, does not want us to faithfully read the Bible. And so let's talk a little bit this segment about how to read the Bible, the nuts and the bolts. How do we start doing that? Brother Max, what is your plan? How do you approach your own personal Bible reading?
Well, if you'd asked me a number of years ago, I would have pointedly said, I don't.
Not uncommon.
And it's more common than it ought to be.
And I appreciate the honesty.
And I my life and my marriage, we were struggling. I was focused on just what I could get out of this world in life. I was a Christian. I wasn't overly active in church, and if I didn't go, it didn't bother me. But I also wasn't growing spiritually, and I wasn't having a real good walk with God. And, you know, things just weren't going the way they ought to with marriage and raising kids and all those things. And there's always been encouragement to read the Bible. And for me, when I finally took that step and commitment that I'm going to open that book and just start reading. And the first couple of weeks is like, I'm gonna start in Genesis. You know, yeah, you get through a couple good things at first, right? I mean, I know the Bible's all good, but there are passages, right, that you can get a little bit bogged down. And I was like,
the truth.
I'm just trying to be honest. And so then I started getting in, and it's where I encourage people now that when they're just in infancy in their Christian life and their walk, start in the book of John.
Yes.
Amen. It's where I went and I started hearing the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I started hearing him speak words, and his words moved. His words healed people. His words saved people. His words changed lives. His words raised the dead. That was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can see Brother Terry, he did a good job with this not too long ago. He's like, you can find Christ throughout the entire Bible.
That's right.
You can. Absolutely. And I agree with him in that. But there's got to be some spark of growth to begin. You need a primer. I've been intrigued with this show, with this guy that takes old junk cars that have been sitting out there in a field, sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And he walks up and he assesses it and he says, well, it's got this, it's got that. Well, let's just give it some juice and run the fire. And he'll open that carburetor and he'll pour down some stuff and he'll say, well, maybe that's too much, maybe not a knot. And he just shoots it some more and off and goes and starts it off. And it starts firing. Mm-hmm. It starts kicking in. You know, sometimes we need a little bit of primer. We need to get into the good stuff, straight things from the Lord Jesus Christ, those precious red words in your red letter Bible, God speaking to you, you trusting him, and get going with that.
You know, I agree totally. In fact, I've got it right here in my notes that would be my recommendation to get started in the book of John. You know, Genesis is good, but then you get into Exodus, and some parts of Exodus are good, but some of it is just all about, you get into the tabernacle and the furnishings and a lot of different stuff, and then you get into Leviticus, and then it gets worse, and then if you plow through, eventually you find yourself in First Chronicles, and then you get bogged down. And so if you're wanting to develop a good habit and get some consistency, get that prime pumped. And you cannot go wrong with the book of John. In fact, the Gospel of John says in chapter 20 and verse number 30, it says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, listen to this, folks, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's the entire purpose of the Gospel of John. What better place could we start than the book of John to get that prime pump? Now, you kind of took me a little bit down memory lane. You were talking about back some times in your life when you weren't reading the Bible. I've had my times in my life where reading the Bible was a struggle. I got right with the Lord in 1986, and so that's a long time ago. I can't say that I've always read the Bible faithfully. I've had my slumps. Even in ministry, I've had times where, as a preacher, I'm going through things and my Bible reading, not what it ought to be. You know, giving it a lick and a promise. It wasn't passion. You know, sometimes when we go through things, we hide, we duck and hide, and even from God. And sometimes reading the Bible, it's like, you know what, I just can't face that right now. Doesn't mean that I shouldn't. I should have plowed through it. I should have said, look, I'm going to ignore my feelings and I'm going to do it anyways, but we're human. And so I've had that. I'm saying that, you know, not to confess my sin, but I'm saying that because sometimes people think, well, the preacher can't relate to me, but the preacher certainly can, because the preacher is flesh and human just like everybody else. When I got right with God in 1986 and my heart was right with the Lord, I started reading the Bible, Brother Max, and it was different than before. I would go to church, I would, you know, try to read the Bible, and I didn't want to because it wasn't in my heart. And so I would avoid it. I wasn't living right. I didn't want to read the Word of God. And when I did read it, it just didn't speak to my heart. But when I got right with the Lord, I started reading the Bible, and it started speaking to me. It was amazing. I was working a job, you know, keep in mind, I'm just 20 years old, just a young man. I didn't have a career path. I'm working at a machine shop, and the job that I had was vapor blasting. And so there was this machine, and I'd stick my arms in these holes in these rubber gloves, and inside I would have machine parts that had carbon built up from heat treatment, and it'd be like vapor blasting and getting all of that carbon off of those parts. It was just a monotonous, horrible job, and I just couldn't wait till break time. And the reason being is that I kept my little green Gideon's New Testament in my uniform shirt pocket, and as soon as I got to the break room, I would get that book out, and I would just love reading it. Every minute that I could, I wanted to be reading the Bible. Now, I haven't been like that all the time in my Christian life, but I look back and, you know, that was some sweet times because the Word of God was fresh and new. And I will say to all of our listeners, if you get your heart right with the Lord, God will give you an appetite for His Word. You will enjoy it. And so a lot of people say, well, I read the Bible and I don't understand it. A lot of times it's a heart condition, not a reading comprehension condition. And so that would be my first admonishment, to get your heart right with the Lord. But then, as Brother Max said, you know, you may want to start in Genesis and just go all the way through. If you're a disciplined person and you can plow through some of those hard to read portions of the Bible. I've been reading the Bible for 38 years. I've been preaching it. And still, when I get through some of those passages in the Bible, it's like, oh, I can't wait to get through this because I don't know how it's relevant to me. Some of them are good places in the Bible for study, but not necessarily good places for reading. And it's like, I can't wait to get to 1 Samuel, where I can hear about Samuel and Saul and David. But in the meantime, I got to plow through some of those right. portions. Some of the prophets, Isaiah, you know, half of what Isaiah says, more than half, it's like, I don't know who he's talking about or what he's talking about, but I know it's important. And sometimes later on in my Bible reading, I'll come across something, and it will be a key to help me understand something I didn't understand in another portion of the Bible. And so it's just a building process. But I would say to our listeners, have a plan. Figure out what you can do, how much time, a lot of time, and a place where you read the Bible. I have to do it early in the morning, Brother Max, because I get busy, and I like to finish what I'm doing, and so my mind will get preoccupied, and then toward the evening, my mind's wore out, I'm tired, and then I don't want to read the Bible. So if I don't do it early, typically I'm going to neglect it. And so that's what works for me. When do you normally read the Bible?
I'm an early person as well, and I've known others that can do it in the evening, and it works well for them before they go to bed, and usually by then I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, my mind is gone. So I do it early in the morning. The other thing I do after I got the pump primed and spent some time in the New Testament and John and those other things, and I did, as you reckon, got on a regular plan. And the one that's worked for me, I know everybody has a plan, but the one that has helped me, and I've actually, it's been probably 20 years now that I've been doing this, is the Bible reading calendar that gives you a little Old Testament, a Psalm, a Proverb, and some New Testament. And when you follow this plan, you read through the Old Testament once, you read through Psalms twice, you read through the book of Proverbs every month, and the New Testament twice in a year. For me, that has worked, because I get a balanced diet throughout the Bible, and it's helped me.
Well, that's exactly what I've done for many, many years. Here a couple of years ago, the Lord had me add to that, but we're going to talk a little bit more after the break, but we're also going to talk about the benefits of Bible reading. There's some important stuff, so stay tuned. Welcome back. We have been talking about Bible reading, me and Brother Max Robinson, and we've talked about where to start. Everyone's wired differently. We've got people in our church that they like to read the Bible starting at Genesis and just going all the way through to the end of Revelation. I'm wired the same way as you are that way, Brother Max. I like that Bible reading calendar where I read a little bit in the Old Testament, little bit in the New Testament. I get one proverb. Of course, you know, Proverbs has 31 chapters, and so you can read one proverb a day. You can look at the calendar and know, okay, I'm reading Proverbs 18 today because it's the 18th, and whatever the case may be. And then also a little bit in the book of Psalms. And you think about that, you've got Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms is filled with things that help us spiritually and emotionally, and then Proverbs is full of practical wisdom, and so you just get kind of a balanced diet, and that's always worked well for me. In addition to that, and I mentioned before the break that a couple of years ago, the Lord encouraged me to add to that, and I like to read in the morning, but I have a lot of variety in my Bible reading. I will spend some time where it's just me sipping coffee, reading the Bible, and it's more devotional. I have other times where I'm just trying to devour more of the scripture. You know, some of it, I want to focus on a small amount and just let God speak to me and take some time. And then other times it's like I just want to feast on the Word of God and get more of my heart and mind exposed to the Bible. And so, you know, there's just different creative ways that I've done. I've, for instance, when I try to get some exercise, I chose rather than like a treadmill, but rather a stationary bike, because I can actually read while I'm on that bike. I can read good books, but I can also read the Bible. And I try not to make that my devotional time, because I want my devotional time to be tuned in with God. So I'll do my devotional time and then I'll get on the bike. And if I'm on the bike for 20, 30 minutes, I can get anywhere from 5 to 15 chapters read, depending on what part of the Bible that I'm in. Some chapters are longer than others. And so, you know, by doing that faithfully, I'm able to go through the Bible rather than just, you know, once or twice a year. I can go through the Bible multiple times. Not all of it is where I'm just taking the time, hey, what did I just read? Sometimes it's just exposure. We also have audio. You know, technology has created different tools that we can use. I have a Bible app on my phone. I'm sitting in a doctor's office waiting on an appointment. I can get my phone out and I can, that waiting time, rather than picking up a magazine that's a waste of time, I can actually read the Bible. And so I've tried to train myself to do that and keep that pump primed at all times. You have Bible audio where you can be driving down the road and you can be listening to the Word of God. Once again, for me personally, that I try not to use that to take the place of my personal devotional Bible reading where I'm listening to God personally at a heart level, but exposing myself to the Word of God in so many different times and ways, I found that you cannot go wrong by having more of the Bible. My wife, she has a problem reading. I don't know if it's I don't know what it is, but she can read the Bible while she's listening to it, and she can get a lot out of it. Without the audio to go along with it, she struggles in her Bible reading comprehension. She finds it very frustrating, and we've talked about that before, but the audio and the reading has worked very, very well for her. I like to read for the most part without the audio, because the audio reader typically reads a little bit slower, a different pace than me, and so I kind of get frustrated that way. We're all wired different. It's just like food tastes. We all have different habits, what we like to eat and how we like to eat, what time we like to eat, and so forth. We're all different, but the fact of the matter is we've got a buffet right here in front of us. We ought to take advantage of it.
And I know with me and reading as well, and probably many other people out there, things affect you differently. I got to have quiet. I have to have quiet. That's mm-hmm. why early morning works well with me. You know, before the kids are up, before we do devotions as a family, I need the quiet. You know, I can't even have the dog snoring in the background. and noise, I don't do well with the audio. My mind just starts wandering so quickly. I'm thinking about this, thinking about that. And I will hear something and it will spur thought. Right. So you'll be reading in the Bible, or it'd be talking, and there's is a bird in a snare. You know, I'm thinking about pheasant hunting now, turkey hunting. I'm off. I'm going and like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be spiritual. And so I found for me, I have to go a little slower. And sometimes I even reread passages.
Yeah.
Because my mind wandered. Mm-hmm. I can read and wait a minute, what was that? And so I have to go back. That's myself. I think my wife is a little bit better at being able to concentrate and go through than I am. So that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm the same way. I can read a couple chapters and it can just dawn on me, well, my mind wandered. I was going over the words with my eyes, and there was a part of my brain that was saying them in my mind, but I had no idea what I just read. And so it's like, Lord, I better back up and read that again. You like to read in the mornings. I like to read in the mornings. My wife, she's wired very different than me. She can read right before she goes to bed. That would keep me up all night. But we're just, the bottom line is, however you're wired, whatever works for you, folks, you ought to be reading the Bible. Why? Because there are so many spiritual, powerful benefits from reading the Bible. The first one that comes to mind is Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have a faith deficiency in our culture today, even in churches among Christians. Faith isn't necessarily a strong point in modern Christianity. And the reason being is because we're not reading and following the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more Bible that we get, the stronger that our faith is going to become. And listen, we walk by faith. This Christian life is all about faith and trusting God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is the definition of faith from the Bible. And so I would encourage all of you listeners to read the Bible so that you can have faith, and that if you have faith, that faith can grow. What's something else that you can think of, Brother Max, that's a benefit of reading the Bible?
Well, the Bible, as you're reading it, I mean, you definitely can get to know the heart of God. And the greatest thing is, from the beginning to the end, God's plan of salvation for mankind, his love. You know, what we're going through in this world today was not God's plan. His plan was the Garden of Eden. It was perfect man, perfect woman, mm-hmm. perfect environment. I mean, perfect. And here we are as a society, even with some of the green movements, and they're trying to get back to what God did. They just don't want to do it God's way. But God established that. And one day, God is going to make all things new again. It is going to be perfect again. And we can read God's word, come to know him, know his heart, obtain salvation, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, have that hope, have that peace, that joy that we need, strengthen our relationships with each other and with God, and have a life that cannot be bought or obtained by anything else in this world. I mean, all the other motivators, all the other things that are going on, none of that is going to accomplish any of that in your life like this book will if you get into it.
Amen. You know, there's so much truth to that. We don't have to be insecure about what's going on in the world around us. The Bible tells us, gives us understanding of what God's doing. There's so many things that we question. Why did this happen? Why did this tragedy happen? Why did God allow this to happen? Why did he intervene over here, but he didn't there? There's so many questions that we have that are understandable questions, but the answers are in the Bible. And if we just trust it, because this is God's word and we are here for God, and so many people think that God's up there for us. But if we read the Bible, we understand that we are created for his pleasure.
Yeah,
all
things. And
that'll totally change the way we see ourselves and life and the world around us. And then we can have peace, and then we can have joy, even in the midst of all of the troubles and the trials. Here's a verse I wanted to also make sure we got in, and that is Ephesians 5:26. He talks about sanctifying and cleansing with the washing of water by the word. The Bible is a cleansing water. And so many people say, well, preacher, I read the Bible, but I don't understand what it says. Don't worry about it. God will give you some understanding. But even if you read, if you spend an hour reading the Bible and it's like, I don't even know what I said, there's still a cleansing effect. It's a spiritual book. These words are not just the words of Peter and Paul and Moses and Samuel. These are the words of God. And when we read them, it's a water that will cleanse our soul and our heart and our spirit. Brother Max, it's been a real joy to have you here on Salt and Light. And folks, this is something we're very passionate about, because the effects of the Word of God, they will change your life. They changed our life. And if you will just take this admonition and start reading the Bible, you will see that what we've said here today is true. God bless you, folks. Hope you have a great day.
We appreciate you taking the time to join us at Salt and Light. It is our desire that you experience the joy of following Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he died on the cross for your sins. He will give you hope, peace, and eternal life if you will repent of your sins and trust him as your Savior. You may see yourself as a good person, but you will never be good enough to deserve heaven. You may see yourself as bad, but you can never be too bad for Jesus to forgive you. You can call upon him to save you this very moment. If you are a born-again Christian, we want to encourage you to obey Christ's command and be salt and light to those around you. We encourage you to find a Bible-believing church that does not compromise or water down the Bible, and get involved serving the Lord. If you have a Bible question or a particular issue you would like us to discuss on Salt and Light, visit our website at templebaptistnc.com. Click on the Salt and Light link. Once again, that's templebaptistnc.com. May the Lord bless you. We hope you'll join us again next week.